KJZ. That's code KJZ. Only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55. Terms, conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
It's time for some straight talk. Look, we all drop our phones. It happens. You fumble it, crack it, splash it. Well, Straight Talk Wireless now offers this new Platinum Unlimited plan that includes phone protection. Just $65 a month for unlimited talk, text, and data, plus 20 gigs of hotspot, 100 gigs of cloud storage, and more. All on the best network. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. See Mobile Protect terms and conditions at Asurion.com/straighttalk. Limitations and exclusions apply.
Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, and Zubin Mahente.
I love Giannis, but he's not like LeBron. He doesn't get me to the TV. If Giannis is on TNT Tuesday or Thursday, ESPN Wednesday or Friday, I'm in for LeBron. I'm in for Harden. I'm in for Durant. I'm in for the return of Steph. I love Giannis. This is not a personal indictment, Key. He does not get me to the television.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or streaming live on the ESPN app.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Hour number two of the Sports Hangover. Jordan Kleber, how are you, sir? I did that on purpose. He's got a mouthful of sandwich. He's having his lunch, but he did manage to tweet several things. Our question of the day, how do you view or fix the Pelicans' problems? Daniel Salveson's going to join us at 1:15. We'll talk a little about that. Haven't touched on it too much. I told you, I had a good weekend. Rafael Esparza in studio with us at VSI Doc Sports. I feel good. I didn't want to start and delve right into the fact that we had, 8 of 9 losses. They take on the Spurs tonight. 8 p.m. tip was going to be 7, but they got some problems. They lost at Minnesota. David Griffin had an interview with The Ringer, and in it, highlight it, shine the light on the plans. I will just summarize it by saying long-term is what Pels fans should be looking at in viewing this. So I've kind of come up with a phrase or name on how to view this year so you don't shake your head like Jordan is right now. You're going to get indigestion. You're having your lunch. Just breathe. You're already getting angry. Just eat your lunch. Okay? Corey and Jack going to come to you in about 10 seconds here. Daniel Salveson, Leo Haggerty is going to join us at some point this hour here as well. Marlon Favorite, rest of the show is open. Our thanks to Mike Rothstein, covered the Lions for ESPN. Got a chance to hear kind of his take with Matthew Stafford. Again, he thinks the cap could be an issue here as well. So, Jack, thanks for giving us a call, man. What you got?
Hey, guys, how you doing? Before I make a comment about the games yesterday, you know, I'm hearing the commercials for DraftKings, and they've been running them during the Pelicans game. When does that stuff actually become legal in the state? Because I went to their site yesterday, and there was a free contest that you could get in. But if you live in Louisiana, you still can't make deposits, and you can't put up money to play.
I'll answer that one just because I've been highly involved with getting sports gambling here.
Are you going to Baton Rouge later?
In the state of Louisiana. First of all, for those people who are state of Louisiana, you guys should be complaining because DraftKings and Fantasy Sports was approved 2 years ago and we still haven't been able to deposit.
I'm confused because I know I've gone to the polls and voted yes several times. I want to say 2 straight years, right?
Yes.
Why are we still not, what's happened?
It's called a couple people in legislation that want it their way and not what we voted for.
Right. But isn't that how it runs? Well, like normally, how does that work?
I think the main issue for fantasy sports with his question is the parishes. They're trying to figure out how to split it up for parishes and who gets them what half, which gets them
so it's about
half.
Money.
So it's always about money
and taxes.
It's about
who gets the money.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
But I would think fantasy sports should be here, DraftKings, FanDuel, by week one of next year's football season.
Oh, really? Yeah, okay. Because, again, we did approve it.
Yeah, we did approve it. Okay. Sports gambling, I would be totally blown away if it's approved here in the state of Louisiana by not this March Madness, but the next March. I'm thinking 2023 probably for sports
gambling.
Didn't
we vote for that as well? Yeah. Okay, yeah. I was just double-checking. Again, just double-checking, Jack. Go ahead, Jack.
Okay. Well, thank y'all. But as far as what I saw yesterday, guys, in the first game, you know, I thought the Green Bay game, I thought that turned on a couple of plays. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, first of all, how do y'all feel about the referees completely reffing games differently in the postseason than they did during the regular season? Because the announcers made comments all during the game that they would just let them play. I mean, there was a clear holding penalty right before the half that led to the Tampa Bay interception. I mean, do y'all think that's right that they should? You know, that it's a different season now. We'll just let them play.
I do think, like, to an extent, there's sort of that, but I don't know, Jack. Honestly, my opinion, I didn't think I viewed any of the games yesterday where I was like, the refs kind of got in the way. You, Rafael?
No,
I honestly don't. I mean, you got to have a bad call or two in a game.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, overwhelming, like, dude, that team got hosed.
I thought the Green Bay-Tampa Bay had a little bit more bad calls than the Buffalo-Kansas City. I mean, because there was no flags pretty much thrown throughout the whole both the games. It wasn't that many laundry.
Full
on the
disclosure,
field.
Jack, during Tampa and Green Bay, I was grilling a lot of meat. I was playing with the kid, the puppy everywhere. So, I mean, I was watching the game, but I...
Well, it must be nice not to work on a Sunday. Wow.
I think I sent y'all pictures, too.
Yeah, you did.
Must have been very nice.
Yeah. I went with the skirt steak.
Even the guy in the line, all three of us thinking an invite for
Brazilian
Gus's house.
Steakhouse marinade. It's delicious. Go ahead, Jack.
Well, Gus, I won't say they got hosed, but this is what happened. One of Green Bay's receivers running a crossing pattern, and a guy for Tampa just grabbed me by the shirt. I mean, right in the middle of the field, and no call, and it ends up being an interception. And then right after that, Green Bay blows the coverage right before the half and gives Tampa a touchdown. Mm-hmm. I think that series turned the whole game, but what I learned just watching the whole game was the team with the better offensive line won. The team that just kind of what Larry said,
right.
You know, they didn't get near Brady, but Aaron Rodgers got sacked five times and he was under pressure the whole game. They couldn't run the football. I thought that was the game. I just think it's hilarious when people talk about team sports and they talk about like Aaron Rodgers is playing. You know, he's playing Tom Brady. Believe me, if Aaron Rodgers is playing for Tampa, I bet everything I could find that Tom Brady doesn't beat him with that Green Bay squad. You know, that's just my opinion.
All right, I hear you. Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it, man.
All right, thanks.
Yep, Corey, let's get to you, sir. Leo Haggerty, patiently waiting. We'll go to him here in a quick sec. Corey, what you got, man?
Hey, what's going on, Gus? I wanted to chime in because I heard about y'all talking about Michael Thomas and how you were saying that you would call every team in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
I got one better for you, my brother. I would call the Lions. Mm. It's out there in Campbell. Look, take Michael Thomas. You have to, you know, you know how to use him. Give us Matthew Stafford. I know they say, well, who are you going to throw the ball to? Well, you think about it. But Sean Payton, as long as you can play wide receiver, he can find anybody. We got our first round pick. We're getting 2/3, one from Atlanta, and then we're getting one for Teddy Bridgewater. You can keep Emmanuel Sanders. Traquan Smith came on last year a lot more, so I mean, that's what I would do. I would go get Matt Stafford, trade him Michael Thomas, and then see Michael Thomas complain about not having Drew Brees and playing with a rookie quarterback. Because I could see them going to get Justin Fields.
That's why I asked Larry, Corey, if I would be willing to use some of my current roster capital to make trades to try to do that as well. Never know. I'd rather do that right now than go get future first round picks and stuff, right, Rafael?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the first one. The Lions aren't going to agree to that.
No, they don't want Michael Thomas. No. You don't think Dan Campbell?
No, I think Dan Campbell rather had the Detroit Piston bad boys.
You forget Corey. Dan Campbell was on the field probably when Chauncey Gardner Johnson and Mike Thomas went at it. He probably knows why that happened.
I would think
so. I like what you're thinking, though.
I agree.
I like what you're thinking. I mean, you know, I just. Yeah, I mean, sure.
You get Matthew Stafford, 33 years old. Strong arm. I think Sean Payton will make that man a Hall of Famer, no doubt.
Okay. How about Tua? To trade Michael Thomas to Miami for Tua? No?
I don't think I would.
Okay.
I'm not a road because I'm an LSU homer. I just don't like to. I'm not knocking the player. I just don't. You know, it's just.
Okay. All right, I hear you. Thank you, Corey. Appreciate the phone call, man.
No problem.
Leo Haggerty joins us. It Sports Magazine's been covering the Bucks in the NFC South throughout the season. Leo, how are you today? Are you confettiing, celebrating?
Hungover.
Yeah, hungover. I mean, it must be nice to be able to go to the Super Bowl. I'm sorry, in your own hometown.
Yeah, right. And the problem is none of us are going because the NFL protocols are so restrictive, there's going to be very few local people in the press box. So it's just the it's the year from hell, Gus. So what can I say? In fact, real quick, the next USF men's home basketball game is when you come to town. All their January games have been canceled. So it's nuts.
Hopefully it's cleaned up by the time we show up there in February. Leo, I want chime in on the conversation we're having, and we'll get into the game yesterday a bit. We've only got about 5-6 minutes here. But seriously, look. Do you think the Saints can make a play for Stafford? Do you think the Saints may be willing to trade Michael Thomas? He's going back and forth with the Buck player on Twitter. He tweeted about, well, you know, when your quarterback can't throw 20 yards down the field, they press up. So he's blaming. It's just, all I'm saying is, does anybody want Michael Thomas? do you think Michael Thomas, Matthew Stafford, and some other players could be changing places here the coming year?
Wow, Gosh, that's phenomenal if people would think that. First thing you got to do is you got to sit down with Drew Brees and see what he's going to do. You got to figure out, okay, Drew, are you coming back? And if you are, how are you coming back? Mm-hmm. And again, Drew Brees lines up under center next year. You still win 10 games. You go to playoffs. This is not a bad football team. Don't push the panic button. I'm amazed that Matthew Stafford is on the trading block. I mean, he's the best quarterback on a team that doesn't make the playoffs year in and year out. They have no supporting cast at all in Detroit. Now, maybe he's the one that's orchestrating this move, but again, you got to figure out, okay, what are you doing with Jameis? What are you doing with Taysom? Are they your future? If they're not, and you know, Matthew Stafford doesn't come at a really big cost, and Drew's ready to hang it up, it may not be a bad move because you're getting a guy comes in who can play football.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I'm watching that game, and I know a lot of the three interceptions are going to kind of, you know, for a reason is being talked about on there, but I thought they played, the Bucks did, as good a game as they could in that first half, and the throws being made, some miscommunication. I kept texting you, is Mike Evans on the take? I mean, but that game could have been a little uglier, quite honestly. I thought the Bucks had a good game plan. Their defense, again, shockingly, Devin White and David were key playmakers in that game and that Bucks D-line. I wasn't surprised, Leo.
Oh, I wasn't either. What surprised me, I wouldn't be surprised if the defensive coordinator for the Packers doesn't have a job after today. I mean, how in God's name do you let a guy who you know is going deep no matter what? In fact, I asked Scotty Miller afterwards, if they'd have dropped back in an umbrella coverage, he said, no, we were going deep no matter what. And that turned the whole complexion of the game around. I mean, instead of being, you know, 14 or maybe 17 at halftime, it's 21. And then, boom, here Devin White picks up the ball, runs in, and it's 28 in a hurry. But, again, Gus, the problem was they lost another safety. Again, Anton Winfield couldn't play. And then Whitehead goes down. They're playing with backup safety. And you could see at times it was a Chinese fire drill on defense for the Bucks. They were trying to get people lined up. And, Gus, before you even ask the question, I'll ask you, why didn't LaFleur go for it on fourth down?
I like I said, if you miss it, Bucks likely run the ball, try to run some clock. If you can get them to a three and out, they punt. You're going to get it by the 45, you know, 45, 50 yard line with time.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I think Aaron Rodgers thought they were going for it on fourth down because if he'd have known he only had third down, he may have run that thing instead of throwing it, trying to get down inside the 2 or the 1 yard line and say, hey, you know, Matt, we got to go for this. You know, we're a yard away. So it was an interesting game. Again, Gus, I predicted 30-27. It ended up 31-26. So
right.
I'm not surprised. I'll tell you what I'm really surprised about, Gus, is Brady did not have his A game at all. He was high. He was off. And I know the Packers are complaining, their fans, about the pass interference call. The only reason they were able to call that, all day people were grabbing jerseys, grabbing jerseys, grabbing jerseys. If you watch that, he grabbed the jersey, fine, let's go, and then grabbed it again. When he grabs it the second time, now you've got to call that.
Right.
Because that's impeding progress.
I know, Leo, it's going to be interesting how this matchup sets up, man. We'll talk a little bit more about it towards the end of the week when we have a little bit more time. And some of the, I guess, storylines, they're going to be fun more than anything. But look, KC, Tampa, man, right there in your hometown. Maybe they'll let you in. Maybe they'll let you in as we get closer.
Well, maybe if I disguise myself as John Gruden or somebody, they'll
pick
up
the coaches
to get in. So.
Sounds good.
Hey, Gus, good talking to you, and we'll talk to you Friday.
For sure. Thank you, Leo. Appreciate it. Quick break. We come back. Daniel Salerson, Pelicans Radio Network. Maybe before that, though, Jordan, I'll pat myself on the back. Can I pat myself on the back? Can I do that for you?
Go for it.
Can I? Adam Schefter, he just tweeted something. Do you remember what he just tweeted?
Yeah.
What did he tweet?
I retweeted on the at ESPN Radio. No, there are roughly 10 quarterbacks locked into starting jobs for the opening day of the 2021 NFL season. This is expected to be an unprecedented offseason of quarterback movement.
It's my show. Just does the show prep for ESPN. How about that?
You did have a nice, maybe a prop bet I can probably put up there.
You like that? All right, we'll discuss that here in a couple of minutes here. Bottom of the hour, we'll get back to the football talk. Pels don't take on the Spurs tonight. Daniel next on ESPN New Orleans. Did you boogie with your baby in the back row of the
movie show? Hey, little. Hello, 2021.
Hi. I'm Bobby Ramsey.
My oldest son.
When my grandfather opened his doors to the public, my mom and dad hadn't even met yet.
I remember when they met, and I remember when you were born.
Bob Ramsey was an incredibly talented jewelry designer, just like his daughter, my Aunt Lori.
I always did like you, Bobby.
Lori, what do you and the design team have planned for us in 2021?
Robert, we're going to be unveiling some new engagement rings that no one has ever seen before.
Unique in all the world?
Unique in all the world.
Lori, what do you look forward to in 2021?
I look forward to everyone smiling again. I want to be surrounded by smiling faces.
I'm a big fan of smiling faces.
Me too. I believe 2021 is going to be a year of love, happiness, and joy.
Love, happiness, and joy.
Love, happiness, and joy.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers, the largest diamond store in Louisiana. Unique in all the world. On Veterans between Bonneville and West End.
You're invited to start 2021 right now.
Right now.
On the new Toyota of your choice at Homa's number one dealer, Greg LeBlanc Toyota. Start browsing our online prices at GregLeBlancToyota.com for low online prices. You can get your top dollar trade-in value and low monthly payments with the click of a mouse. It's just that easy. If you're a new or returning customer, our friendly staff at Greg LeBlanc Toyota will make you feel right at home. Remember, when you go to Greg, you get the deal. Greg LeBlanc Toyota, Homa's number one new car dealer. GregLeBlancToyota.com.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
Come on, citizen!
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone!
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengap.
Tonight, 8 o'clock, 7:30, Daniel Salerson sitting behind a microphone. Mr. Cardosi will say, you're on. I don't know, does he point to you? Does he say you're on? Or you see the lights and you know? Or you just, such a professional, Daniel, you just know that you're on the air the second you hear, here's Daniel Salerson.
I get a point from Joe. That's been something he's done for 8 years now. So I look for the point, and we go, because I don't want to start talking at the mic model.
That is true. That is very true. Daniel, how are you this afternoon, man?
I'm good. Just ready for another late game. I thought we got rid of the late games when we were on the West Coast, but now apparently they've tripled to the home game. But
okay.
We're ready to go here.
Six straight at home here after six straight on the road. How would you describe the six-game road trip?
Not ideal. That's probably the best way to describe it, going 1-5. We do have to preface, at least I'm going to preface here, that you know you played four of the top three teams, or three of the top three teams in the Western Conference four times out of those six, playing the Jazz twice, Clippers, and Lakers. What's crazy about that is you had some decent leads in all four of those games at the beginning of games, and then kind of things unraveled for there. So you did like the way they were starting games, but man, the third quarter in all of those games, it just seemed like was a real big problem where the Pelicans would let the opposing team have momentum heading into halftime, and then heading into that third quarter, it just seemed like all the momentum shifted where the Pelicans were outscored by 10 to 12 points. Heading into Saturday's game, they were only scored 24 points per game in the third, which was dead last in the NBA. So, you know, as much as it was tough, the six-game road trip, you know, when you're stuck in your hotel room, can't do anything, I'm sure that takes a toll mentally on these guys too. Mm-hmm. And I think they're so glad to be back home, and maybe a fresh start is on the horizon with a six-game homestay.
Let's do this. Out of that road trip, what stood out to you that you think is something this team can build on the next six games here at home? I want to start with one.
Sure. Go ahead.
Captain Obvious here. Zion.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious. And, yes, that is. I mean, it's a good answer, though, with Zion. I mean, what's crazy, as I was saying to someone before, is people talk about how he needs to expand this game. We had a lot of national broadcasts on this road trip, but people are talking about Zion needs to learn how to do jump shots. Zion needs to learn how to, you know, shoot the three more. And it's like, why? I mean, he's
right.
Points in the paint per game. He's the best in the NBA. I mean, it's really tough to guard. And so why keep doing that? He's probably going to need to work on some post moves, but this is a guy that was primarily a playmaker and a point guard in high school heading into college. That was his focus when he was working with his stepdad. It's a great article with Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer today was talking about that. Just like, Zion was built more as a point guard and kind of with his size and his growth, you know, turned into a post player. So he's only 20 years old, so I think he's trying to still learn his post game. But, you know, yeah, you saw what he did against Rudy Gobert. You saw, you know, putting up 2 straight 30-point games, shooting 70% from the field or better. I mean, Zion has been a bright spot. But I think what I liked about, you know, you did see some different guys step up in different situations. I mean, Look at Nikhil, what he did against the Clippers. With 37 points. You saw when Kyra got some minutes that he looked pretty sharp. It's just more of little things that they had to correct that have turned into big problems that have led to what's been, you know, a 5-10 start for them. So there are certain positives you can take away, but I feel like you're right. I think Zion is at the top of that list.
Funny you say that. Speaking with Daniel Salerson, D. Salerson on Twitter, Pelicans Radio Network, because I agree with you. On the outside, the totality of things, it can be very easy to be like, this team's terrible. They're garbage. They can't win. They can't do it. But even in the games that they lose, you get 43-point first quarter. I mean, things like, so you can't do that if you can't play. Getting out to defend the three or trying to make the three, things. So I understand why you say they're correctable and the small things that start to build into a snowball effect, I guess is what you're getting at, right?
Yeah, and a lot of it's coming on the defensive end. I thought the offense has started to improve a little bit as the season progresses. I think everyone can agree the three-point shooting has been a problem for the Pelicans, and I think it's more pointed out because of the perimeter defense that's been showing as well on the other side. The Pelicans are averaging being outscored by 18 points per game on threes, which means the opposing team is shooting six more threes a night for the Pelicans. That's an 18-point deficit you have to make up in different ways. And so if you're having trouble rebounding a certain night, you're not going to get it on second chance points. If you're having trouble getting to the rim, sometimes you can't make it up in points in the paint like they've done in the past. So how are you going to be able to make those points up? Well, you got to defend. In some of these games, you've seen spurts of them being able to play defense, but the defense has kind of unraveled here in the last couple of weeks, and Stan's been talking about it. It's more of the will from each individual player on how much they want to buy in to playing defense on that side of the floor. Schematically, too, I think Stan's trying to figure things out as a way to keep his defensive principles going with stacking the paint and avoid easy shots at the rim or going to the free throw line. But at the same time, they need to start working on more guarding the perimeter from three because of, you know, the margins there that you're seeing. So some of the stuff is correctable. And again, you have a new coach, and I know people don't want to hear that when you're 15 games in, but I mean, these are the things that come with the territory when you're trying to build a franchise around two cornerstones like Zion and Brandon. You have to figure out what pieces work best around them and what pieces work with the identity of the new head coach. And so this is the time for them to figure things out. And we look at last year, this team was 6-22, Gus, and then went on a big winning streak and were contending for a playoff spot. So as much as it took 28 games for them to figure it out last year, we're only in game number 15 heading into 16 tonight. So I'm not hitting the panic button yet, but of course you want to see some more positive, you know, things from this team and some wins on this homestand.
Kevin O'Connor wrote a piece over for The Ringer and has some quotes attributed to David Griffin. And I'm going to paraphrase here. In short, it's the long-term plan. And I think Griff says, look, if you're judging us this offseason, if we can win now, we failed. It's about trying to build, like you're saying, for the future moving on. And that might mean, Daniel, trying to experiment with different lineups and getting different players different minutes as well, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, the more Stan Van Gundy and David Griffin watch this team, the more they can play around with the rotations and figure out, what are we doing wrong? What needs to be changed? I don't think Stan's sitting there going, everything's fine, you know, we're just going to keep going and it's all going to show up eventually. No, you know, he's one of the most prepared coaches in the game, so you know he's going to try to do everything he can to get this team to succeed. But you're right. I mean, this is a long-term game, and I think some of the not the problems, but some fans and everyone else just wants to see this team win. It's been a long time. They've made two playoff appearances since I've been here for nine seasons, so people are getting antsy, and I totally get that. But when you have guys like Zion, who's 20, you have Brandon Ingram, who's 22, 23 years old. I mean, though, you're in a lot better situation than some of these teams are who are struggling without those cornerstone pieces. So it's figuring out the right pieces that surround those two guys and see what works, what doesn't work. And there's going to be some growing pains along with that. And I think you're starting to see that. But I feel like this team is not going to be struggling this much for the entire season. I think they're going to get it together. It's just a question of when.
It is interesting tonight. The Spurs are in town over at the Blender. And the Pelicans are 3-point favorite. Does that mean that there is a respect that this team can put that together and just waiting for that to do so? Because they're 9-8, you're 5-10 and lost 8-9. I looked at Rafael across from here on the desk. I was surprised by that. Why are the Spurs not the favored team?
My guess is some of that has to do with the fact that they're on the second night of the back-to-back. And it showed the last time these two teams played, the Spurs were also on the second night of a back-to-back, and they put up 95 points. And we had Matt Bonner on our Pelicans podcast today, and I asked him, is rest advantage overrated? And he doesn't think so. He thinks, you know, with a team having to get into the hotel, no shoot-around, especially with a condensed schedule like this, that could play a part. And so, you know, the Pelicans have already won one of these matchups. They play really good defense against the Spurs, but it's going to be a tough challenge. It's definitely not going to be an easy one where you think, oh, the Spurs are in town, it's going to be fine. The Spurs are kind of been one of those teams that they've gone 7-7 since these last two teams played. So they've had some high points and they had some low points. So it's going to be really interesting, but that's basically my only guess is you're at home, even though home court advantage doesn't really matter as much right now. But being on the second night of a back-to-back, it definitely puts the Pelicans at an advantage. And I think that the first 12 minutes of the game will be really key for this Pelicans team to get going.
Sir, final thing for you. What am I paying attention to tonight when the Spurs and Pels tip it off?
Well, those 12 minutes that I just mentioned, I feel like the sense of urgency from the Pelicans, we'll see, you know, if they, you know, are ready to go tonight in those first 12 minutes, kind of playing, getting out there, taking their frustration out on the Spurs. But, you know, the Spurs are a team that really doesn't make a lot of mistakes. They average only 10 turnovers a game, which is first in the NBA. So the Pelicans cannot afford to continue to make the mistakes on their end and giving the Spurs extra opportunities. But also the Spurs are a little different than most teams is that they are shooting a ton from the mid-range and having some success. Of course, DeMar DeRozan really loves shooting from the mid-range. LaMarcus Aldridge does as well. So it's going to be interesting how the Pelicans play that when they're trying to, you know, force teams to eliminate packing the paint. This team might not do it as much, but that also means rebounding is going to be key with guys like LaMarcus Aldridge, Jakob Poeltl, and things like that. So I feel like it's an interesting matchup for the Pelicans and Spurs, but look out for those first 12 minutes. I want to see the Pelicans come out ready to turn this losing streak into a winning streak.
I'm with you. No, normally it's I like to see this player and I like to see that. I'm with you. I'm going to caravan and piggyback on this sense of urgency. I want to see this team go out there and actually say, hey, look, we got to turn some things around here. 6-game homestand. As Rafael would say, you're waking up out of your bed, going to the facility, going to the game. There's no reason to be tired or anything from that nature. So sense of urgency is what I like to see as well, Daniel. 7:30, sir, your pregame, 8 o'clock tip time over at the Smoothie King Center. Thank you for your time today.
Absolutely. Send caffeinated drinks over to the Smoothie King Center. I'll be making for the ground. Thank you.
Jordan, that's for you. Jordan, you have to...
It's 8 o'clock. It's not like it's a 10 o'clock game.
Nah, well, Jordan, you're busy later today. Daniel needs some caffeinated beverages.
I might be able to bring something over to him.
There you go. Just tap on the window. Right on there, right there. Thank you, Daniel.
Slide it up.
Exactly. Raphael, explain to me why the Major League Baseball Players Association feels and does things the way they do.
I have no clue, but it's going to be a down year for my Cubs, it doesn't really matter.
I'm already looking forward to when Carver's like 12 or something. Maybe a competitive day.
I can't wait to say, wait till next year already.
Already. We haven't even started spring training yet. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
You don't have to read my mind.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same-day appointments are available on weekdays, with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
Fact. Filing your taxes with TaxAct can feel like a cash explosion. That's because TaxAct helps you get your maximum refund guaranteed. And TaxAct costs 30% less than the big guys, which means more of this. So if you want a cash explosion of your own, switch to TaxAct. File for less and get more. Start for free at TaxAct.com. 30% less claim based on comparison of TurboTax and H&R Block federal pricing for deluxe and premier consumer online products on December 4th, 2020. Restrictions apply. See TaxAct.com for complete details.
Freddie Coleman.
I don't think you're going to make it in the next couple of minutes.
Ian Fitzsimmons.
I really don't think I'm going to make it through the night. I don't.
Ah, Freddie and Fitzsimmons.
Oh, them.
More of a good thing.
He is the king of the reverse jinx.
Tom Brady had a chance to speak, and once again, he shows us he's that every man for you.
And greetings and salutations, brothers and sisters. He's Ian Fitzsimmons.
Cam Atkinson just hit the post.
I'm Freddie Coleman. We are
Freddie and Fitzsimmons. Weekdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Our thanks to Daniel Salerson, Leo. A couple of phone calls already here, including Jack Randy. Leading things off. Mike Rothstein from the Lions covers Detroit for ESPN and Sir Lawrence of the Holder. Rafael Esparza is in studio with us here as well. He just showed me a funny meme. Ryan Garcia, you know I like him. Apparently, you already know he's going to be fighting, hopefully. Maybe.
Well, exhibition, trying to plan on something of him fighting Manny Pacquiao for an exhibition fight.
Is it just hard for him to find a fight, or why? What's the issue here?
I think a lot of these fighters, and I think both MMA and boxing, are looking for these exhibitions because they really, really want sold out arenas. They really want,
So we're waiting until people can come in.
Watching UFC 257, I don't know how many fans they had, but you can tell.
A lot.
You can tell that there are fans there when with the knockouts and the music coming in. I think that's why these exhibition fights have worked and are being planned, because we don't know when we're going to see that big sellout arena for a UFC or a boxing fight.
Okay, we had a big UFC, as you mentioned, fight over the weekend with McGregor going down. Second round with TKO there. Were you surprised by that result?
Yes and no. I mean, I told you, for a fan of MMA and for a fan of the sports, they needed Conor McGregor to win. No disrespect to Dustin Poirier, but he doesn't move the needle like Conor McGregor does. He just doesn't bring in the fans like Conor McGregor does. Conor McGregor Khabib Part 2 would have been blowing up Poirier's next fight. Probably he's not going to blow up the needle, but
Well, why are you shaking your head?
There he goes, hating on Louisiana again.
I wasn't does he move the needle for UFC?
Yeah.
Here in Louisiana, I think he does.
He's talking about UFC.
Well, I'm talking worldwide. Yeah. Here he does.
You can make the claim the Saints do. I mean, they are one of the highest rated cities here in New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
In the NFL,
I would put the Saints as a top five football team.
See, he doesn't completely hate New Orleans.
Yeah. But keep an eye out. There's a fighter fighting on Fox this weekend, Caleb Plant. He's another up-and-coming young guy, undefeated, devastating knockout that's on free TV, so Caleb Plant. But Conor McGregor will be back. He'll fight. Look for me either Nate Diaz, part three, or Ferguson.
Questions of the day, Jordan Cleaver. I got a couple of them if you'd like to go through them quickly.
Yeah, over on Twitter at ESPN Radio New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Hey, Pelicans fans, how do you view/fix the problem with the Pelicans? You can comment or call in 800-998-1003. And our second question of the day is, the Lions and Matthew Stafford mutually agree to part ways. Should the Saints go after Stafford or another veteran quarterback? Why or why not? Again, you could comment at ESPN Radio NOLA over on Twitter or call in 800-998-1003.
I like this. Well, I mean, I don't like this. The name's creative. David Griffin is officially on the clock. Uh-huh. Tweets, lack of genuine leadership, accountability, shooting, and solid defense in all caps. I agree with shooting. I agree with the solid defense. It'd be nice to have a full game of solid defense. Let's tackle those two. Genuine leadership. I do think there's leadership, but you and I have talked all last week, and Rafael, feel free to come in on this. And again, it's not one player's complete fault. That's accurate. I mean, Stan Van Gundy even said this last week, like, stop, because everyone's now asking about Lonzo and the different starting lineup. But that said, as I've mentioned, I look at it from that position. That position is, to me, essentially the quarterback on a football team, right? Mm-hmm. If the offense isn't moving, if it's, you know, third and eight a lot, turnovers, right? I mean, Jameis Winston, why is he out of Tampa? Turnovers, right? I mean, we would look at a football situation very similar to this, and we played the sound bites leading into the Minnesota game of Zion and Stan Van Gundy saying, look, sometimes just the offense is stagnant. It doesn't, that falls under the job description of a point guard. Doesn't it? I mean, it does. I was thinking, and I saw over the weekend, guys, and I don't understand. And again, I'm kind of just speaking out loud here, but there's a lot of people for some reason on Twitter, on Pell's Twitter or Pell's social media, blaming this on Steven Adams, which I don't know if I had enough bourbon or too much bourbon over the weekend.
I don't think you were reading tweets right.
No, I completely know. There's a discussion with a couple of Pell's writers and blog people where they're defending, say, because there's some fans that are saying that they need a big center that spaces. I'm like, what game are you watching? I don't know what game you're watching, because Schmidt even said this, and we're going to have him on later in the week, what I've been saying for now 2 weeks. My building core, my foundation for the next 3 to 5 includes Steven Adams, Brandon Ingram, and Zion Williamson. I mean, you're watching the games. They're the reasons you can win. Your guard play has been atrocious. Either not making threes, causing turnovers, can't get across the half court. It's not Steven Adams. I'm just at a loss at how I saw. Wait, one is too many. One is too many. But there's a belief among some Pels fans that not having this spacing guy, stop it. I don't know why everyone wants, like, Jokic and all that. Stop it. He is perfect for what they need this team to be. If you had shooting and guards that could push the tempo, know how to create, know how to space, simply by knowing where to dribble and make the right read, you're going to be fine. It was baffling to me. I don't know. When you look at that question, what do you think is wrong with the Pels?
The players are not matching the new coach that came in. That's why I look for them to be a huge trade deadline team.
Okay.
Bradley Beal is fun. They're even looking at the couple of young guys that the Chicago Bulls have, Marion, mm-hmm. and I can't think of the guard off the top of my head, Zach LaVine. Looking at him,
I'd love
well.
Zach Levine.
I would think they're probably gonna, in their bench play. Let's face it. How come no one's pointing pin J.J. Redick? Really, 0-6 against the T-Wolves?
Well, look here again. I bench have play, waited bench as long as I could to get into that game. 121-10 was the final over the weekend. Accurately, Pell's Twitter described it as indefensible. You know, like that's a game you cannot lose, right? That's a game you cannot lose. They did. That was a battle in the first half, three quarters, 1-point lead. Just again, you didn't match the energy. Oh, by the way, the T-Wolves were without some of their best players.
This also, if you remember last season, the Timberwolves were also the same team that we were supposed to win. We were in the
Smoothie King Center.
We were in the Smoothie King Center, but in the VIP room, whatever the suite,
the suite.
And I remember that game.
Apparently somebody enjoyed that suite a little bit too much. Oh, yeah.
You guys went to a live game? Was it five years ago?
It felt like that. So that's what I'm trying to get at, right? Is that you lose a game like that. It's tough to wonder what happened, right? Here's Stan Van Gundy. Literally, what happens with the team when nothing's working, right? This is what he had to say on it. It's an interesting answer.
Well, I think a couple of things. I think that we get very individual at times. Everybody's going one-on-one and taking very tough shots. We don't move the ball. We don't move our bodies, and we don't pass the ball. So, you know, we get in the paint, which I think is great, and we score in the paint, and we do a pretty good job usually finishing in the paint, but we rarely get in the paint, draw people and throw it out. So one of the problems we had tonight, you know, the offensive problems I think are tonight were, you know, number one, 21 turnovers. Number two, we didn't shoot the ball well. So we made four of our last six threes to make it look a little bit better, but we were 6-for-27 from three when it mattered. So we didn't shoot the ball well. And we take too many really, really difficult shots rather than executing and playing together to get good shots.
So here's what I want you all to do from here on out.
Oh, we got homework?
Yes, it's homework. When I play a soundbite from this team, especially the head coach, I want in the back of your mind, isn't this what a point guard would do or could help with? Like you just heard that, right?
Mm-hmm.
The ball is stagnant. We don't pass. We take tough shots. Turnovers. I mean, now again, not every turnover was the whoever was handling the ball. But again, it's part of the job description. That's all. What upset him the most from that loss at Minnesota?
Well, I think what upsets me the most about this one is that we lost that game because Minnesota played a lot harder than we did, with a lot more energy and intensity than we did. They defended harder. They went to the boards harder. They ran harder. They cut harder. Everything. I mean, our disposition didn't match theirs whatsoever, and that's always a disappointment. I thought that we got outworked across the board. We didn't put enough into that game, and that's extremely, extremely disappointing.
So how do you answer that? Because that's the hardest thing about, look, shots are going to go in, shots are going to go down. Father Time can, I don't know, maybe that's the issue with Redick. I don't know. You can't go for six if he's your quote-unquote sharpshooter. But that's neither here or there. Why is this team now, again, because isn't this one of the reasons Alvin Gentry, so many fans wanted to move on from him? Right? This team was very inconsistent with its effort and energy. That was one of the reasons fans wanted to move on from it. Why are we having the same problem again? That's what's hard for me to understand. I don't understand how in the world you don't look at that game like we all did and said, okay, that's your slump buster, right? I mean, that's the thing that turned things around here. We're going home for six, okay? So we went, you know, two and whatever on the road trip. I would have liked 3-3. We led at Utah. That's Thursday. How you bounce back from that shows me a lot. I'm confused by that as to how Minnesota, with three wins, is playing harder than you are.
I don't think Minnesota played harder.
Well, the coach is telling me they did.
I don't believe that, because from what I saw, they also played a horrible game. They had 12 turnovers, which isn't the best thing, but when the Pelicans have 21 turnovers in a game, I don't think any team's going to win with that kind of statistic. Mm-hmm. And you kind of put in the effort portion of it. I mean, these guys just have to come out tonight against the San Antonio Spurs and you know, show the fans that they're embarrassed from that performance of last game.
Should that have been Minnesota?
Yeah, that should have been in Minnesota. Okay.
But that's what
I'm saying. You shouldn't lose that game ever.
I'm not arguing with you. I honestly don't know the answer. I don't know even how to speculate. Rafael, when a team, and look, you're not moving on. I don't think it's the leadership or the coach. You know, but when I say leadership is, you have to have somebody in that locker room, you know, that kind of holds people accountable in the locker room more than anything else.
I don't think they do. I mean, I thought maybe Holiday was that one, but I mean, we saw the same issues last year with turnovers and the same kind of a play.
Well, Redick at Milwaukee last year called the team out a bit. Do you think his slow start to the season prevents him from being able to tell other players we got to get going?
Yes.
Okay. That makes
sense. I think the new faces in the head coach, I mean, tonight is a really, really big game because, okay, how are they going to react coming from a 6-game road trip where they won one game?
Right.
They lose to a three-win team correct. In their last road game before they come home.
And you're playing a well-coached team. Yeah. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, you're going to get run off the court.
Yeah. I think if they win tonight and win, I don't want to say easily, but a nice win, a team effort, I think that builds on. Because like I said, hey, we just left our 6-game road trip. We come back home. We got a big W. Let's build from that.
Quick break. We come back a few more sound bites, and we can continue to discuss that here as well. And one more guest, Rusty's show, Marlon Favreit. Want to hear from you. How do you view the problems the Pelicans have? How do you fix it? Matthew Stafford, where do you fall on it? Lots of Saints media members, lots of national media members saying the Saints should make a play for Matthew Stafford. Where do you fall? Do you say yes, let's do it? No, don't do it. Some Saints fans say try Aaron Rodgers if he's willing to get out of there as well. What do you think they should do with that? Do you stay with Jameson Taysom? Let's discuss that. It's the Sports Hangover. Stop it on ESPN New Orleans.
It was 1972, and in Miami, the Dolphins went undefeated. In New York City, disco was just getting started. And in Houma, the Foster family opened their Terminex business to help protect the good folks of South Louisiana from nasty pests. When you want to sock it to those nasty roaches, termites, and rodents, you want the local pros from Terminex on your side.
So call those Bayou boys. They'll get you Terminex tough.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
The new year is here. Aside from thankfully saying goodbye to 2020, it's time to say goodbye to the old you as well. Hey everyone, it's Gus Kattengell from Men's Total Health. Last year, did you notice any physical changes in you? Reduced energy or libido, increased body fat, ED, brain fog? You know, it could be low T. If you're suffering from low T, you don't have to accept it. Hormone balance can help you be your best self. Improve quality of life and relationships. Visit menstotalhealth.net or call 504-777-7590 to schedule an appointment. They accept all major insurances and tell them you heard it on the Sports Hangover.
At Thibodeau Regional, we're proud to announce we've received HealthGrades 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. Once more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodeau Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodeau.com.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengell.
Welcome back. Sports Hangover. One more bite from Stan Van Gundy. He was asked, is there a lack of leadership on this team, Raphael?
No, I'm concerned about a lack of intensity on the defensive end of the floor by everybody. I'm not, you know, that's not one guy's responsibility where you need somebody to step up and lead. You need everybody to lead. And you need to lead with your example on the floor. You know, I think that we have a couple of guys that bring us consistent defensive intensity, but not very many. And that's got to change.
I hear that. And I, again, at some point, there is something that the coach can do, and that is, well, if you don't bring what I'm asking you to bring, why don't you have a seat right here on the bench and enjoy the game, right?
I mean, isn't that
Stan isn't that what you got to do?
Stan Van Gundy's basically been teaching these guys all year. Like, that's his main point of emphasis.
Hear me out. Like, from literally coaching to whatever. Like, even you, if, you know, you consistently don't pay attention and you keep playing online and you're looking at, I don't know, the next Fortnite character you're going to get, I probably need to address that, right? Don't you think? Say you're not even paying attention to me.
I was talking to
you. Exactly. No, you weren't. You weren't talking because your mic is up. So we would have heard you talking. So you just weren't paying attention.
Well, sorry, I was.
Exactly. Burn.
Acting goofy with Raphael.
I feel like I'm in class. By the way, Raphael,
no.
We started this last week. This was the first full week for Jordan, who's back in school. Our listeners will be grading his work this week.
Huh.
And every Friday, because I didn't realize this is actually part of his, like, this year, the semester's a graded class. So I'll be speaking to his instructor on his performance, and we'll be giving him a grade every week.
Oh, today's Monday. Well, that started off hot.
But no, but I mean, you did come up with Mike Rothstein.
Yes, I did.
Okay, so that's good. But I told him he starts every show as a C. I mean, that's fair, right? You start as an average. I mean, I'm expecting average work every day.
I agree with
so
that.
So you got to guess that, and it was a good interview, so I'll give you an A. You didn't pay attention just now, you're at a B.
I also cut some good sound.
You did cut good sound, A minus.
And I did have a good. Well, you came up with a Twitter question, but I also did put it out. So,
well, congratulations for typing it. That's really
awesome. Your trophy. I'll give you a trophy on the way out.
just for that, you're back to a B. But it's just Monday.
Oh,
you have all the way to Friday. You have all the way to Friday on that. But our listeners will be grading you, and on Friday, we will ask for a grade, and the consensus grade is what you will report to your instructor. Good?
I'm not reporting anything to my instructor.
Now you've gone to see. That's insubordination.
Bad communication.
It's bad insubordination. Stan Van Gundy on being outworked.
I haven't really said outworked a lot because I don't think a lot of people have come against us and played great defense either, where I thought that their energy level was a lot higher than ours until today.
Okay.
What I have said is that our defense hasn't been good. And we haven't put enough into it. We haven't committed to becoming a really good defensive team at all. As a matter of fact, we've gotten worse at that end of the floor. And we need a 180-degree turn in terms of our defensive disposition and our intensity. And
I don't understand.
We'll keep pounding away at it, and hopefully it'll come soon.
Poor Jordan. If you could have seen Jordan during that night. Your mouth was wide open. I could see all your, you know, fillings and your teeth and everything. Because you were mouthing how? And look, I'm with you on that.
That's all.
Because that's not the first time I've heard the head coach say, we need to do this. We need to do that. I need it. And again, I don't know what else you can do other than you send a message that way. If there is a player to, because the Pels only play like 7 to 8 players, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they only play 7 to 8 players. So let's just use this with the process of elimination here, right? Do you think Zion cares with his effort? I'm talking about effort and energy. Not saying that he couldn't be better on the defensive end, but I would say yes. I would raise my hand. Jordan, he's not paying attention. Who are you texting? What's her name?
It's called Todd Graffanini. That's her name.
Oh, now he's brown nosing.
All right. So would you say Zion cares, matters, it shows more often than not effort.
Yes.
Maybe let me phrase it that way. More often than not effort.
He cares, but at the sometimes on defense, he might just stand there.
Okay.
Okay. But more often than times, yes, he cares.
More often than not. Like, what I'm saying is that lack of energy on defense killing you?
Sometimes.
Okay. Steven Adams.
He cares.
Brandon Ingram.
He cares.
I would say I'm going to go your route if I'm going to, you know, never, you know,
finagle
throw
it
in a butt.
Yeah.
I'd like more consistency throughout four quarters. We see him show up, not be, and again, that could be a lot to how the ball's getting to him, how much he's having to work, and all those different things.
He played too much hero ball at the end of the game against the Timberwolves, though.
So, okay. I think Josh Hart does. I think Josh Hart definitely goes out there and plays as hard as he can every night.
It's just, at the same time, he's not that guy. Like, I know he cares.
I'm talking about effort and energy, because I'm going by what the head coach just said, that there's players that do and some players that don't. So I'm just, process of elimination here. Yes or no? Hart.
Yeah, I think
I think Redick does. He's a guy that stood up in the locker room a year ago and called people out. To Raphael's point, though, I think when you're struggling, it's hard for you to get in front of other people and tell them, pick up your game.
Yes.
But I would say, I wouldn't say that JJ steps onto the court and half you know what's in. More often than not.
But does this team have a team leader? That's one voice.
That's what I'm trying to get to. That leaves the starting backcourt. Now, do you think it's just struggling at times? I think Bledsoe. I don't think I've seen a game where I'm like, man, it's not even trying. It's not even running.
Beginning of the season.
And I don't even know if I'd say that about Lonzo. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out who's referring to. That's what I'm trying to do here. Because he's just being dead honest right here. He says there's some people that do it and some people that not. Well, you only play 7 to 8 players.
Yeah.
So, at some point, I mean, you do have, like, what, 15 on the roster or something? I mean, you know what? At this point, David Griffin said it's about the long term. Do a game where you're going to show them. You know? You come in and go, Jordan, did I not tell? I actually did this weekend with my son. I started the no-no bag. Every time he tells me no or he acts up, he picks a car and we put it in a no-no bag and it's gone for the day.
Ooh, the last time I was there, he would have had no toys.
Trust me, it did not go over very well. But guess what? By yesterday afternoon and evening, here he knew the process of earning it back. But again, you have to take it away. And I'm just saying, if I can do that with a four-year-old, if there's somebody that's not doing what you're telling them to do, guess what you do the next game? The starting lineup is different. That's all I'm saying.
Is he going to do it with the dog, too, so he doesn't bite me? My stitch is a staple.
He knows as well, believe me.
No, he doesn't
know. No, he knows as well. I don't know. Maybe I'm off of it. I don't know. Like I said, it's an open question. What do you think is wrong with them? Van Gundy says it's effort and energy. And how do you fix it? Top of the hour coming up. It's an open segment. All you do is Chuck. You've provided no answers, by the way, today. You're now down to C minus.
I can't tell you what I was. That last game, I was at a loss for words. Sorry.
So you're at a loss for words.
Yes. I was at a loss for words that last game.
All right.
I usually have an explanation, but I don't have an explanation for that Timberwolves.
Top of the next hour, we'll also address, are you on Stafford's side or not? Do you think the Saints should go get Stafford or not? That's a big topic right now. Raphael, you can start that conversation. Brian wants to chime in as well. We'll do that when we come back to Sports Hangover and ESPN New Orleans.
Nya, nya, nya. Bah, bah, Babwe, Zimbabwe. The broken Bunsen burner burns so bright. South,
Jamie.
Southeast Asian Peninsula.